Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Friday. Beautiful day outside, and I wonder how many people are dipping out of work. It's 1:07, so maybe you went to lunch and then was like, all right, I think I'm done here.
Went to lunch, maybe had a cocktail, and you're like, all right, I'm going home.
How many people, you know, if you're in a position where you have a flexible work environment, how many people on a weekend like this, where it might be a long weekend for you, maybe not, but it might be, and you go outside and it's beautiful and you know you have this long weekend ahead of you and you're like, nah, I'm out.
Yep, I'm not going to.
If you need me, call me.
Exactly. I think that's the majority of people. And I mean, why not? If you already have Monday off, make it, take a vacation day.
Why are we here?
You know what? Let's get out.
Tony, why are you here?
That's a great question.
Isn't it?
Tony.
And are you reconsidering it? Look at it. It's beautiful outside.
I know.
Tony, are you going to the lake this weekend?
I am.
That's what I thought. Because you know what? Last year, I was getting married this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And you came to my wedding.
I did.
But you had to dip out for the reception.
But he came. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was fantastic. No, it was fantastic. He made the time. Yep. It was Saturday.
I came.
He did it.
Watched Annie lock her keys in her car.
That's right. That did happen. Wait. Let's rewind that story.
Yeah.
I did not lock the keys in the car. Jared locked the keys in the car and felt pretty bad about it. And then $80 later, everything was fine.
My mistake. Do you remember what I did? Do you remember the bonehead move I made?
It was like just recently.
No, at her wedding.
I mean, oh.
You were there. Mark Cox was there. I was there. I think Chris Harps was there.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
We all got together and we shot a video on my phone.
Uh-huh.
That was like a congratulations,
what'd
Katie.
You do to it?
I deleted it.
Why?
Before I posted it. It was an accident. I accidentally deleted it.
You told me that, yeah.
So nobody, she never got to see it. We were going to put it on the station.
She probably has been taking it personally this whole time.
I was going to put it on the station YouTube channel so everybody could see it. And she was in her receiving line behind us, mm-hmm. shaking everybody's hand. It was a beautiful video, and I deleted it.
Yeah.
And you told me right after I got home from my honeymoon. You were like, yeah, I deleted that video. Sorry about that.
We actually debated. This is how you know you're working in radio. When you need content, you just make it happen. We were like, should we go get her? Go put her in the video. It's like, oh no, this is her wedding. This is like the one thing that trumps that. Katie, come here real quick. It'll be fast. We promise. Forget about your great-grandma.
It was so sweet and cute, and it was like, oh, we got this. Everybody got together. A little congratulations, Katie. We love you. You're so beautiful today. I hope you had a wonderful... And
nothing.
And then I deleted it.
Well, we'll talk more about that in a little bit. It's Memorial Day weekend. Hope you are enjoying the beautiful weather outside. If you were dipping out of work a little bit early, stick with us. We are excited to have you because we have a great guest here in just a second. First, I want to play for you something that this representative, we keep hearing some of the inflammatory things that they've been, these representatives, the way they are speaking. Listen to Representative Omar. Or don't, if it's not going to work. This is classic.
Oh, is it spinning?
It's cut 16 from
spinning,
yesterday.
Spinning.
So Representative Omar has been very... very predominantly in the news for some of the inflammatory things that she's been saying, but it has to do a lot with religion. But when she talks about religion in the way that conservatives and right wingers use religion. But then we kind of get maybe a left winger version of her religion when it comes to how she brings herself into the fray. And we're too afraid to really challenge that. And this is kind of new, the way this is being encouraged in the House of Representatives, and I'm excited, very excited to bring onto the show for you today, Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. Everybody knows you go without explanation. People are very supportive of you, very excited to have you on the show today, but very involved in the NRA and very involved in conservative policies. Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, thanks for coming on the show today.
Thanks for being, allowing me to be with you, Annie.
Absolutely. So you wrote an article recently, and it was talking about some of the compounds that have been found. And you know, I remember the one in New Mexico, but in your article, you point to a few other ones. I think that this is not something that has been covered largely. We're too busy talking about Russia collusion, which we now call Russian interference because there was no collusion. And this is something that absolutely needs to be talked about. What do you think the indication is right now that we have multiple compounds in our country that are basically teaching people how to, you know, use weapons for things that are probably not in America's interests?
Well, the disconcerting aspect of this is that we are allowing people to use quote-unquote freedom of religion when they're actually more so leaning toward the institution of a theocratic political ideology and sedition here in the United States of America. And they are training to conduct terrorist attacks against American citizens. Everyone knows that was what was going on now in Mexico, and the one that was recently discovered down in Tuskegee, Alabama, that I wrote about, is a replication of the training facility they had out in New Mexico. I remember about a camp called Islamburg that was up in upstate New York, and I've talked to people, and the same thing is happening in Tennessee and in Georgia. So, you know, again, this is where, you know, our homeland security should be focused, and we need to make sure that we're not allowing these type of facilities to happen. Just the same, Annie, we should not allow Islamic centers like what we saw in Philadelphia, where the children are being indoctrinated, singing songs about murdering people and violence. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I think that we see people in political positions who have the platform to stand up and talk, and they use they'll use those kinds of instances to try to defend a religion. And if you are to criticize anything that comes with it, then you're bigoted in some way. So they say that enough and they do that enough that people stop criticizing it. People don't want to stand up against it because they're afraid of, you know, God forbid you be labeled as a racist. God forbid you be labeled as a bigot. And so people stop challenging it. They win that messaging battle. But at the same time, it's hard to be a Christian in this country right now because Christians are not allowed to be Christians without also being bigoted. Isn't this kind of a bad oxymoron when it comes to how we treat one religion politically and how we treat the other?
Well, absolutely. It's as if we give one faith belief a very wide berth and the other one, they get a very narrow corridor. I mean, you can't even, you have to go before the Supreme Court if you say you don't want to bake a cake for a same-sex wedding. That's how insidious it has become, but yet we can have people that are here in the United States of America that are talking about, you know, things and actions and principles and values that are the antithesis of who we are as a constitutional republic. We have, you know, elected members of Congress that, you know, you already mentioned Representative Ilhan Omar, that would be at an organization like the Council for American Islamic Relations and, you know, saying that 9/11 was some people that did something. But, you know, you can't criticize or say anything about that. Or Representative Rashida Tlaib and some of the statements and assertions that she's made. So I think that there comes a time when American people have to understand is that we're not saying that you cannot practice your faith belief here in the United States of America, but when you believe in a system, a political system, an ideological belief that is contrary to who we are as a constitutional republic, then we have to start asking some very hard questions. And let me remind you, there are people that saw very nefarious things and questionable things going on at the home of Saeed Farouk and Tashfeen Malik. Those were the two shooters in San Bernardino. But when people were asked them why did they not say anything, they said, like what you just mentioned, they didn't want to be criticized. They didn't want to be called Islamophobic or anything like that.
It's too frightening sometimes to put yourself in that position. We're speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, Fox News contributor and an author and a media contributor. Lots of accolades that you have received. You've been in government. You've served in the House. I want to play for you this clip from Representative Omar.
Religious fundamentalists are currently trying to manipulate state laws in order to impose their beliefs on an entire society, all with complete disregard for voices and the rights of American women. Their recent efforts, like those in Alabama, in Georgia, are only the latest in a long history of efforts to criminalize women for simply existing. to punish us when we don't conform to their attempts to control us.
I take specific issue when people try to say that pro-life issues are religious issues. There is nothing religious about wanting to protect a heartbeat, and trying to discard it that way is really dismissive of the human rights that are being violated here. But nonetheless, I believe that Representative Omar and Tlaib and Ocasio-Cortez have certainly used their position in the House of Representatives and religion that they subscribe to try to put policy in front of the American people. Are they guilty here of accusing one side of that with which they are guilty themselves?
Well, the thing which you have to come to understand is that based upon how they feel, your rights are not a right unless it is in concert with their ideological belief. So your constitutional rights, Second Amendment right, that's not a real right. When you look at the inalienable rights that are granted to us from our Creator, that's in our Declaration of Independence, the very first one is life. But that's not a real right because their ideological right says that we want to be able to murder unborn and now even born babies. And so I would just ask, you know, Representative Omar, you know, where was her reaction when the New York governor, Andrew Cuomo, signed into law basically an infanticide law?
I didn't
hear her come out and say anything about that. And you're not going to hear them say anything about Governor Ralph Northam, who is still in position as the governor of Virginia. You know, all of those, you know, feigned outrage about him stepping down.
Yeah, if he were a Republican, he wouldn't have lasted that crisis for sure.
He wouldn't have lasted the day, okay? Not to mention, you know, the weeks that it went on. So, no, these people are hypocrites to the highest degree and the highest level.
You've had a 22-year career in the United States Army. You've served, you've won medals and accolades, and now you've come back here on the home front and you've run and won elected official position. And now you see these people who almost 10 years later are serving in that same chamber that you did. In the course of time that you've been serving this country, which is decades, how do you feel America right now is handling the idea of jihadism and Islamic extremism and putting all of that in the context of a politically correct society?
Well, I think we're failing, without a doubt. I mean, the fact that we have these Islamic terrorist training camps in our country, but even more so, I mean, think about the American Taliban, John Walker Lynn, that we just released from prison. You know, Michael Spann was a former Marine officer and also CIA operative, and he lost his life because of John Walker Lynn in that prison uprising by the Taliban in Afghanistan that Lynn had information about but did not convey. And John Walker Lynn still is praising and supporting ISIS. So why would we let this person out? Why would we allow a person like Bill Bergdahl to go free, who, you know, you want to talk about collusion? The Taliban doesn't keep you for 5 years unless you're working alongside with them. And he did not look like he had been tortured or had any type of physical abuse or any deprivations. But yet he gets to walk free. And we have men and women, young men rather, that are sitting in prison because they went out there and killed the enemy. So I don't think that we have come to a real realization. And also, you understand, we have never classified the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization. And if we would just take that step, we would do so much to preclude these groups like CARE, the Muslim American Society, Islamic Society of North America, all of these groups that are affiliated with the Muslim Brotherhood and Hamas from operating freely in the United States of America. The Council for American Islamic Relations has an office on Capitol Hill. Now, this is an unindicted co-conspirator in the largest Islamic terrorist funding case in the U.S. history, the Holy Land Foundation case. And they have an office on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, it's shocking to know that. We know that there are tensions in Iran right now and a lot of terrorism harbored there. Do you have confidence in President Trump to handle this situation appropriately and in the best interest of the United States?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the most important thing, we don't have a president that's writing a $150 billion check to the largest funder of Islamic terrorism in the world, and that being Iran. So we're taking a harder stance. We're reimposing those economic sanctions. We have negated that unilateral executive action of President Obama called the Iranian nuclear agreement. And we're showing them that we want peace, but we want peace through strength.
Yeah, amen. Well, Lieutenant Colonel Colonel Alan West, thank you so much. Online at theoldschoolpatriot.com and follow him on Twitter at Alan West. You will not regret that follow. And make sure you check out his book, Hold Texas, Hold the Nation. You can get it, I'm sure, at Amazon and probably on your website, I would imagine.
Yes, you can. And also at Barnes & Noble, some of those.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for the time today. Have a great Memorial Day weekend.
Thank you. Honor Memorial Day. Thank you, Annie.
Absolutely. We appreciate being able to speak to him today. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Tim joins. Well, Tim does join us.
He does.
Tim joins us in studio. That's what I was going for.
Tim's is jonesing us.
Is it Friday? Or is today Tuesday? Because my Wednesday felt like Friday because I took Wednesday off. And then I had to keep remembering that the next day was Thursday. And that was...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
As disappointing equally every time I remembered it. But today is actually Friday.
It is.
All day. That's fantastic.
I was confused too.
That's okay. I'm clearly still confused. I'm going to get my stuff together here over the break and come back and try to string together words that make sense with one another with Tim Jones joining us in studio. See? I'm better already. We'll be back in a second.
And what the hell am I doing here tonight?
I haven't played that one in a long time. Are you working on the little thing with Bernie?
I am. I'm working on it.
We have a treat.
Yes.
It's not done yet.
Yeah.
Next week.
Yes.
I was running yesterday and a song came on my playlist and I started hearing in the background of the song, I'm Bernie Sanders. I'm
running. And so it's perfect.
I cannot wait to share it with you. In studio with us right now, Tim Jones.
I'm definitely not America's sweetheart.
This is Armageddon.
Hey, Annie.
So, Tim, I give you credit. You had Papadopoulos on your Sunday night show, we think at the end of March.
Mm-hmm. When his book came out. About the time. He is the international man of mystery, is he not?
Yes. He's a good guest.
You know what's funny? I kind of get a kick out of all of this. Everybody like wringing their hands and freaking out about this, especially on the left and the media. Sean Hannity has been on this story for like 2 years, mm-hmm. and the rest of the media world has pretty much ignored him because they think he's a right-wing...
Or made fun of him
because they think he's a right-wing crackpot. I don't think he's that. I think Sean Hannity's hardcore, and that's what I think turns a lot of people off because he just goes for the jugular every single night. But he's been right about this. He's had Joe DiGenova, Sarah Carter, Jay Sekulow...
Greg Jarrett,
all these brilliant legal... constitutional legal minds, which is a whole different level of jurisprudence, and they've been connecting the dots on this for the entire time the Mueller investigation mm-hmm. was attempting to connect the dots on a Russian collusion hoax, which was exactly proved that. And now everyone's going, the reason they're paying attention to this now, Annie, is because the full weight and force of the Attorney General's Office of the Department of Justice is now saying, I think we need to look into this.
Yeah.
That's all Bill Barr had to say was, I think we're going to look into this. And it was like, wah!
It's crazy.
You know?
Have you heard us play Randy Quaid?
Pieces, yes.
Bill de Blasio of New York City.
So, Tony,
is it Randy or is it Tony?
Well, have you heard Sebastian Gorka since last night?
Mm-mm.
I knew this day would come, but I didn't expect it so soon. Thanks to the actions and statements of Nancy Pelosi in the last 48 hours, the president has brought forth his decision and the Kraken has been unleashed. With his decision tonight to allow the Attorney General to declassify any information relating to the illegal surveillance against his presidential campaign and his administration, we will find out who began the biggest political scandal in American history and where the responsibility lies.
Talk about rats and hyenas.
Watch in the next 2 days.
It's coming.
The rats, the hyenas, start to eat each other.
The hyenas.
Clapper, Brennan, Lynch, even Obama.
Ooh.
The fun and games have begun. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Stay tuned. SebGorka.com.
That's great.
It's like, is he British?
No, he's. I think he's Eastern European.
Okay.
Gorka.
Okay.
I think it's. I think it's
Gorka.
A, I think it's. I think it's Slavic. Yeah, he belongs in a James.
What an accent!
He belongs in a James Bond movie.
He does.
He sounds, especially like knowing the context of who he is and what he does on a regular basis. He's got this big booming voice with this.
It's like the voice of God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then there's
Bill de Blasio of New York City,
and it just. I'm like, they kind of almost feel like they're in this a similar.
And the way the camera was set up with this video with Gorka felt like something that he looked at Randy
Quaid. Was it influenced by Randy Quaid?
It looks like
he was. But I was saying earlier, I saw this scrolling through my phone when I went to bed last night. And Jared, of course, he laid his head on his pillow and went to sleep, which is what you men do.
That's what I do.
Women cannot stand it.
You're much more thoughtful than us.
Well, literally, side note, I used to say to my husband when we were dating, what are you thinking? And he'd pause and he'd go, nothing.
Well, that's how you play golf. You have to cleanse your mind so you can, you know.
But yeah. I would say to him, what were you thinking about? You look like you were thinking, nothing.
Nothing.
And then I've been married to him for 12 years. He's actually thinking about nothing.
Hmm.
And I am so incredibly jealous because I'm thinking about four things in depth at any given time.
He's very focused. He's very focused on the task at hand.
He's not stressed.
So, yeah, Annie, I mean, finally, after 2.5 years, the deep state cover-up is being exposed. And as Sebastian said, I mean, the rats are running off the sinking ship.
And the hyenas. And
the hyenas.
That Adam Schiff bit you played earlier today with him talking about the weaponization of the deep state. Do these people listen to themselves talk? That's exactly what his team did.
Isn't it narcissists or they accuse you of being guilty with that, which they are guilty themselves?
Democrats do it all the time. They are so good at taking their sins and imposing them on other people. Mm-hmm. I mean, the weaponization, I think he almost said the weaponization of our intelligence and law enforcement. Sean Hannity and the other people we just mentioned have been saying that's what the Russian collusion hoax was. And it's been proven to be that now. We had the attempted takedown of a duly elected legitimate president through a deep state cover-up. What do you think the, quote, insurance policy of Lisa Page and Peter Strzok was?
So let me ask you this. When it came, I don't want to do what I didn't like what the Democrats were doing when we were investigating Russia collusion with the Trump administration. They acted for over 2.5 years like it happened.
Right.
They governed. They ran their positions and their campaigns going into 2018 as if it was factual information that the president stole the election from not just Hillary Clinton, but the American people by working with Vladimir Putin in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't happen.
They came up with a conclusion and then they tried to back the truck into it.
Yes,
and the truck never fit down the alley.
Ends justifying the means type of thinking. And that's a very weak way of doing things. So the question I have for you is... You and I, unless I'm missing something, don't have that piece of paper in front of our face right now that shows that the people, the CIA and FBI director or FBI agents who went to get this FISA warrant, the people who acquired the ability to spy on the Trump campaign, do we have that hard evidence to say, no, right here, it says that they left off information to make sure that they got the result that they wanted. In my estimation, that's what President Trump is allowing William Barr to show the American people.
Right.
So my question to you is, at what point do we get to say based on facts, not just if it looks like a duck, no, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. at what point do we know that they used the FISA court, they got the warrant, on politically slanted information to spy on the Trump campaign to help them win an election?
So I heard you asking earlier, talking about Lindsey Graham and that he knows things we don't know. And that's true. There's a lot of folks out there on the right side of this equation. And I use that in double meaning. Lindsey Graham, Jim Jordan, Trey Gowdy. A lot of them know the answers to the questions, but they can't reveal them until the information is declassified.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it was so important what President Trump did yesterday. I think to this point, brilliant folks, folks who were unfairly targeted, people who have written books like Greg Jarrett, George Papadopoulos. They believe that the construct is out there, and they've been explaining it to us, but they're having to use a lot of circumstantial evidence because the direct evidence smoking gun is likely in classified information. That's why it's so important that the president...
Trey Gowdy certainly has had access to that. And he's been saying, like, yes.
Mark Meadows. So every time Sean Hannity interviews Mark Meadows, he keeps saying, I just wish you would just tell me, Congressman, what it is. And Meadows is always like, I wish I could too, but I can't, but it's coming. And Mark Meadows last night said it's a matter of days, not weeks,
wow,
before some of the pivotal information is released. That's why do you think the Democrats on Capitol Hill are like spontaneously combusting every day? It's because they did not get the president through the Mueller investigation. They know they can't get him through this impeachment light that they're trying to do of constant subpoenas, investigations, and interrogations. They don't have the votes for impeachment because the speaker herself is pushing back on that because they know that's politically a complete loser. And Annie, they honestly don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that if they did have time and it got to the Senate, there'd be an acquittal. The worst thing for them would be an acquittal by the Senate. Then what do they do?
Yeah.
You know, then they're out of criminal route. They're out of the political route. They have nothing left. And meanwhile, President Trump is running around the country saying, let's ratify the USMCA trade deal. Let's work on the trade deficit with China. Let's work on the opioid crisis. You notice he's pushing those policy measures. They're not willing to work with him on anything. So I'm glad the president yesterday said, you know what? I'm not going to do anything with the Democrats anymore until the investigation's in. This is ridiculous.
You think that was a good move?
It's hard not to disagree with him because every time he had a meeting set up to talk about infrastructure. What did they do? They had a press conference right before the meeting to trash him and say there was a cover-up. Is she three martinis in every day by noon? Because
I don't know. I wish I were three martinis. This show would be a lot more fun.
Yeah.
It was tough watching her the other day. Yeah. I'll say
the president is engaged in a cover-up, and that is what my statement is. If we can get the facts to the American people through our investigation, it may take us to a place that is unavoidable in terms of impeachment or not. But we're not at that place.
Okay. Did you hear the slowed down versions of Nancy talking?
I haven't yet.
Oh, well, they're
good.
It sounds like she's drunk. I think people were pushing it out there saying, like, oh, is Nancy drunk? I'm like, you don't need to slow it down to make it sound hard to listen to where you go, I don't know.
Three martinis in, I'm telling you.
Maybe. I'm jealous. What kind of martinis? Are they delicious?
Delicious.
I would delicious
blue
wife.
Cheese stuffed olives.
Delicious wife.
Yeah, delicious wife.
All right, let's take a quick break. Is Rob coming in now? Next?
Yeah.
Two mm-hmm. with us? All right, it's going to be a full house. You're going to want to be right here to hear it. We're also going to play at some point in the show here. I'm going to get that Lindsey Graham reaction this morning on Fox and Friends. Really interesting stuff. And what's the latest in digital trends that you've seen? What's real? What's not real? What are you going to be seeing on social media? Rob will break it down in a way that only Rob Kramer can. That's why we love him. That's why we have him in here in just a minute. Don't go anywhere.
The president is engaged in a cover-up. And that is what my statement is. If we can get the facts to the American people through our investigation, it may take us to a place that is unavoidable in terms of impeachment or not. But we're not at that place.
You think Trump and Nancy
selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hate each other? Do you think they respect each other? Tim, do you have an opinion? Is there a mutual respect for the power that they wield?
For mutual respect for how much they hate each other? Probably so, yeah. You know what I think he does, who he does have a relationship with, is Chuck Schumer. I think he and Chucky Schumer go way back, because they're New Yorkers. And I will bet you, back in the day, Trump scratched his back and Chuck scratched his, you know, because they're both from New York.
He donated it to him, didn't he?
They're both from New York City, you know, where I will actually be next week. Huh. You're going to New York soon, aren't you?
In
for some giant gala, glitzy, glammy award show.
It's all the glamour. All the glitz and glam.
There's only one way to make this
hold up. Wait a minute.
You can get this life too if you work hard and stop being bitter and busted.
I don't follow rules. I follow dogs on social media.
So Rob is in studio with us once again to give us the digital lowdown on everything that's happening. Rob, thanks for coming in with us.
Digital get down. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely.
You like that little humble brag about Annie? Oh, yeah, I'm just going to New York for this little thing.
I tried to talk about red carpets.
Can Katie please vouch for how uncomfortable that I'm excited.
So uncomfortable.
It's fun honored, making her uncomfortable.
Don't really know what to do with
so
myself.
So uncomfortable. Wait, and that's where I come in.
What about all the shirtless men that were carrying you around on the pedestal today with a sign saying, I'll be in New York in a couple of weeks?
Well, you were the one who wanted to take your shirt off and get all these guys together.
I didn't ask you to do that.
Flipped it back. For those in the know, the little intro music there, a little bit of Aladdin, which is great because this weekend is the premiere of not the premiere, but the nationwide opening for the live action.
You gonna see it, Tim?
Aladdin.
Tony?
How are the reviews?
So that's actually what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
It's actually really well reviewed right now.
Really?
Really, really well reviewed.
Because it was getting a lot of negative press originally.
When the trailer came out, right? Yeah, a lot of people were like, what the hell?
They thought Will Smith looked crazy.
Yeah, he got a lot of crap for that. Right. So actually, the number one thing I've been seeing on social media is all these people saying it's so great, Will Smith just takes the movie away, and Robin Williams would be really proud to have Will Smith being the genie. So that's really cool to hear.
You know what? I think that if people... I understand wanting to read reviews because I do it too because I don't want to waste my time or money, but I don't think that we're all the movie critics that are the people who we read critiquing the movies. So if you read a review and it's like, well, this is bad and this is bad and this is bad, you're just going in anticipating that it's bad. I didn't see Dumbo. I kind of wish I would have because somebody was just telling me yesterday that it was really good. Some moms on my kid's baseball team. But with Aladdin, I'm just going to go see it and I'm going to go in and I'm going to want to like it. And if I like it and everyone else hates it, guess what? That doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying?
We will see it because I have two daughters and I think they'd love to see it. But we know what we are going to see. Could I ask you about another movie?
Yes.
John Wick 3.
Oh.
Yeah, that's actually doing really well in the box office right now. And
I'm a big John Wick fan.
Didn't it unseat whatever Marvel movie is out right now?
Yeah, Avengers.
Did it really? Yep. Ooh, okay.
But
John Wick.
It had been out there for a couple of weeks.
Great.
Yeah, it's great action. And Keanu... Look at Keanu, where he's come from.
He's
since
reinvented
being,
himself again.
Yeah. And he's just this like solitary figure. You know, I read a really interesting article with him recently where he talks about he donates so much of his time and his money and he just really cares about people and the community. And
that's awesome.
He doesn't want to be this superstar movie buff that everybody looks at and like puts on a pedestal. He kind of wants to stay out of the limelight and just do his craft. You know, it brings our job.
New respect to actors whenever they are just like, you know, I'm just here to do a job and I'm gonna go home and try to live a normal life. It just you put them on such a different respect level than everybody else when they're just like, I'm gonna be a philanthropist and give my money away and hide out.
Yeah, do you see Keanu ever in the tabloids? Do you see him really on any other political statements? Yeah, no, he just kind of goes about his business.
He reminds me of a younger version of because I hope he does. He seems like he's really, he's found a role that he can really, I mean, this is a huge franchise, right? The John Wick franchise. Reminds me a lot of Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yes.
Another guy who kind of just did his thing,
became one
of the best actors ever, but underrated because he's not seeking tabloid attention every day.
My favorite, Daniel Day-Lewis, There Will Be Blood.
Yes.
Eli.
Yes.
There's oil, Eli. Eli. So actually, TC, IMDb has it at 69% and Rotten Tomatoes at 60% fresh right now, which to those in the know, that's actually a pretty good rating
on Rotten
Tomatoes.
If it's over 50% on Rotten Tomatoes.
For Aladdin, yeah. It's worth seeing. Yeah.
I'm saying.
Absolutely.
Where do you guys generally fall on live action remake of Disney or any cart of any
I thought Beauty
movie.
And the Beast was really good.
Yeah.
Cinderella, honestly, I bailed on.
Yeah.
I was cleaning the house, I think, and my daughter was watching it, so I kind of bailed on it. But Beauty and the Beast, I actually thought it has original songs in it as well, and I was really impressed.
I was surprised to hear that about Dumbo. I have not heard any, not one good thing about Dumbo.
Yeah.
Yeah, me neither. So I saw Jungle Book last summer, and yeah. I thought it was actually really good. The visuals were in the jungle, and you know, it was. I thought it was really well done.
I love Disney and Disney World and all
me
things
too.
Disney. So
get
when they
ready
when
for
they
the hate.
You're
when
in
they
the right room.
When they can make it more alive and real, I like the live action stuff.
I think the next one everyone's.
If you're not there, you need to take your ass back to Cartoon Network. We Disney over here, and I'm living my best life.
The next one everyone's looking forward to this summer is The Lion King.
Yes, I'm super excited about that.
That one looks really cool.
CG looks amazing.
Let's stick with the entertainment. So, obviously, the Blues are in the Stanley Cup playoffs, the final series here.
Wait, what?
They did what?
Don't you have a horn? Don't you have a horn or something?
Cue it up.
So, on social media has been buzzing because everybody that's been watching the games here in St. Louis knows that Jenna Fischer, Pam Beasley from The Office, is from St. Louis. Well, her husband in the show, Jim Halpert, John Krasinski, is from Boston.
Ooh.
And he is a Bruins fan.
You say Boston like a Northerner? Boston.
Yeah, sure, you betcha.
Boston?
Boston.
That was Southern, maybe.
Boston.
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 That was B-A-W.
Boston. Wicked smart.
Boston.
Boston. Wicked smart.
Wicked smart.
So they've been having a lot of good back and forth, and I think there was actually a GoFundMe started to try, like, these two need a GoFundMe account to get them to
go to game one
Boston together, which would be pretty cool.
Somebody said Brett Hull was interviewed last week, and he was literally in tears talking about this experience and going to the games and seeing this happen during his lifetime as a former player. Yeah, so it's really... I think, you know, we are the former Red Sox or Cubs of hockey. This is our 50-year drought that could be coming to an end.
And
God
of course,
willing.
The last time they were in the Stanley Cup playoffs, it was against Boston in a 4-0 sweep. So got some demons to exercise.
They did that to us in baseball too.
Right. Mm-hmm. Starting on Monday, got some. Let's see here. Have you guys heard about the Mount Everest stuff that's going on this week? Mm-hmm. So this is the prime time for climbing Mount Everest right now.
I was thinking about doing that this afternoon.
You could do that next weekend.
Yeah, you know, I was going to stretch it out and see if I could get
Mount
off.
Everest. I ran over 2.5 miles in 30 minutes yesterday, and
maybe.
You would have thought that I had climbed Mount Everest.
Maybe stretch a little bit.
I'm 50.
No, I'm good. I'm 50. I'm pretty limber.
So this week alone, 7 climbers have died on Mount Everest. This week alone.
Ooh, that's not good.
And
maybe you won't go, Annie.
I'll scratch that off my list for this afternoon. That was close.
So the last two, yesterday, a 52-year-old man and a 27-year-old man, climbers coming down the summit, had died. Part of the reason is because there are so many people climbing the hill right now. There was a 12-hour queue to get to the top of the summit when people were about 200 yards away.
Gotta get a fast pass for that thing.
No kidding.
So people are taking advantage of this. It's 11.
Scan your magic band at the bottom of the mountain. So, I'm just gonna go the fast pass.
So far, the Himalayan Nation has recorded 381 permits at $11,000 a permit to climb this hill.
Oh my God.
Wow.
They're paying people $11,000 to climb Mount Everest?
People are paying $11,000 to climb Mount Everest. And they're causing these huge queues, and people are dying because of the thin air up there. They're not able to move around.
Oh, you get stuck. Yeah.
Like hurt. So you can look at these pictures online. It's absolutely incredible.
How about
seeing
the
all these
Mount
people.
Everest ride at Disney World? That's a better, that's more in our
Everest.
Speed,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Call every golf bag.
Everest.
Yeah,
that's
climbing
nuts.
Mount Everest. So
how much per permit?
$11,000 a permit. $11,000 a permit.
Annie, should we get the whole team? Well, that only cost a gazillion dollars.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So now they're considering going into a lottery system that you would apply and have to pay a licensing fee, and then they would give away things. And guys, I don't know if you saw it this morning, but for all the Adam Levine crushes out there, Adam Levine is leaving The Voice. It was announced this morning. The Voice has been on for 16 seasons.
That's
Did you know
insane.
That? 16
no.
years. That show has been
what?
On.
What's he going to do? Is he going to try a career in music now?
Well, I think the reason is he's only won 3 of the 16,
oh, he's
so
like,
he's trying
bah.
To get away from it. But he's saying it's time to move on. Just like everything, all good things must come to an end. So.
He'll be fine.
What a wonderful phrase.
Yes. Rob, thank you as always. Rob is the digital sales manager guru here at 97.1 and at Entercom. And he can fix, he has digital solutions for everybody. Seriously. Everybody. Seriously. We'll be right back with phone calls in just a minute.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.